Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk with Deborah Wolf, calling in from Camp Good Dog, as you all know, where it is once again raining in the rainforest. All is right in the world. But we're talking to somebody who's in Phoenix. I'm so jealous. David Blake in Phoenix today. And Darren, I'm not so jealous of Darren Whipped in Iowa with your weather. But welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I understand that because of trying to contact you while in transit and from an airport, that most of this interview is going to be with Darren, because David's kind of moving around right now. But I guess I've got a question for whichever can take this. You've got an all-new dog training style I heard about. That's what my producer of the show, told me. So what's all new about the way you're training dogs?
Actually, it's platform training, and platform training, as you know, is definitely not new. What makes this new is it's the first produced dog training platform that's built specifically for dogs, with a lot of engineering went into it. And so the actual training is not new. Platform training has been around for many, many years, but it's the fact that we have an established product to do that is what's new.
Okay, so loads of people are listening thinking you're talking about platform shoes or a stage or, I don't know, pontificating, making speeches. What are you talking about, platform training for dogs? Let's explain that, please.
Exactly. The concept is to elevate the dog off of the ground or off of the floor. And the concept is when you elevate the dog, it generates focus. And as every dog trainer knows, when we have a dog's focus, that's when the magic happens. That is when we can begin to train the dog. It's comparable to a child or a student in a desk, so to speak, is when we have their attention, we can teach and train them. And so this is something that has been used for many, many years in training of all animals. If you think about, like, going to the circus, anytime they put an animal out there, they'll have it on a platform. And that is so the trainer can maintain focus with the animal. And in my travels around the country, I noticed that lots of professional trainers and pet owners were using platforms to train their dogs. However, they were made of a variety of materials, and there wasn't a constant platform out there, and that's how we came up with this design. So the concept is just elevating the dog off the ground with the platform.
It makes me think of, for kids, you know, the naughty chair, only this is the learning chair. You know, when you're in this chair, you got to think about stuff because it's time to work. I think a lot of trainers do it without realizing they're doing it. They make their first trick. They ask the dog to do something like, you know, if they're working on agility, the very first thing will be to jump up on something, and then they'll start working on something, you know. And so without even thinking about it, you're doing it. Why do you think it works so well? Is it something about the dog brain that likes to be elevated like that?
Well, I think it's definitely a removal from distractions. As we know, the dog has such acute senses, and it's always looking for something more interesting than us as a trainer. And so when they're on the ground, the first thing they'll do is be sniffing around. Their ears are very good. They're looking, they're watching, they're waiting for great things to happen. When they're up on the platform, we're the best show in town, and that makes us interesting, and it really gives us a lot of value. So really, it just creates that opportunity for the dog to draw, for you to be able to draw all the dog's attention. And yeah, the height has something to do with it too. For example, a dog that's let in from outdoors, the first thing they want to do is pop up on something high, either the ottoman or the chair or the couch. It's what dogs naturally want to do, is gain that elevation. So they do seem to enjoy being up there as well. I wish I could read their mind. I wish I knew exactly why it is so successful, but the reality is there's no doubt about it. When they get on an elevated platform, they definitely have more acute focus on you.
You know, when you say that about a dog immediately looking for something high to get onto, I don't see that. You know, I do in dominant dogs. I do in protection dogs. I do in spoiled dogs. But I don't see it in the dogs who are fearful, nervous. In fact, I see the opposite. They're trying to hide under things and get lower. And I also noticed that a lot of dogs seem to mind our overhead lighting. So they're looking for dark places. But I agree with you that once they're on the platform, they're more focused. Now, I wonder how focused. Like, for example, if you get your average lab cross family dog and you stick them on the platform and then the neighbor's cat walks by, okay, you still got some work to do, right?
Absolutely. And I want to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
When you said that a lot of dogs, if I understand you, you're saying that you believe that the confident dogs look for that elevated, but a dog with maybe some lack of confidence issues may not pursue the elevation. Is that, am I understanding you properly?
Yes, I guess so. As a generalization,
so
I do think there are some breeds that are more likely to look for tunnels and, you know, the low to the ground beagles and bassets are probably not going to be jumping up. Like there's some to their anatomy. The long back dogs are probably, you know, but I think as a general rule, a big confident dog is going to want to jump up on stuff unless he's not trained not to. Yeah.
Right. And the reason I wanted to clarify that is that really helps with a point that I've seen. When we're working with boosting a dog's confidence, for example, it is a nice spot to place them to work on those things. And we have found that. It does seem to change a dog's demeanor when they're up on there. As far as how much focus a dog will gain when they're on it, that's a great question. And as far as a dog still bolting out and chasing the neighbor's cat, absolutely that's going to happen. But what we're finding is when we're working on those impulse control issues, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about a dog that is more motivated for something that could be considered negative behavior than doing what they're supposed to be doing. The neighbor's cat is a good example. The doorbell is a good example. Inappropriate social interaction is a good example, such as I come into your door and your dog jumps up to meet and greet me. That's, for some people, inappropriate social interaction. So those are the opportunities we have to put the dog on a platform and work on those skills. And the example.
Okay, well, you know what? We're quickly running out of time in our first segment. So I'm going to ask you, are you able to stay for another segment so we can talk more about this?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay, so everybody listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, we've got a very full show for you. We just added another segment. We're going to go into this a little more. Why would your dog want to jump up on something to learn better? And how would that work? And where would you get this? Where would you find out how to use this? You may have a dog who's just always not paying attention. You want to just go knock, knock, knock on the head. The dog is just looking everywhere else but you. Maybe this is the solution. I don't know. I haven't tried it specifically, although accidentally, I think I've used it many times without even realizing it. And there's a lot of dogs who really, once you put them up, that's a status thing. That's a very confident place to be. So I could see how it would help with all our nervous Nellies out there. All right, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment talking about platform dog training. Stay tuned. Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
Anytime you're near.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deborah Wolf, and I am a dog trainer, so I'm asking quite a lot of questions as we're listening and learning about this platform dog training that David Blake and Darren Wicht are bringing to us, all the way from Iowa, I guess. And so we've got some more questions to ask. So far, I think you're in the middle of answering, kind of covering that whole thing about confidence. So if you... Sure.
Yep. Where we were at was talking a little bit about impulse control. And so with impulse control, these are dogs that are more interested in chasing something or going after something than actually listening to what the task at hand is. And I was starting to give the example about inappropriate social interaction, jumping up on somebody. If we can train the dog to be on the platform when a person comes into their space, then the person can come and greet the dog on their terms rather than the dog coming to them. So if we have a dog that's kind of unruly at the front door and we can place him on a platform, that is going to be a much more controlled environment than just giving the dog the run of the house and bolting at the door when the doorbell rings. So that's one example. It creates a defined space for the dog, and they learn that great things happen on the platform. It's kind of the opposite. We mentioned the naughty chair. It's really kind of
hard for a human to understand. It's almost like that old show, WKRP, where the guy in the office, Les Nessman, he had his invisible walls that he taped all around and he would make people knock on his invisible door because he wanted his own office so badly. So for him, the walls were there. Dogs
Absolutely.
Actually learn situationally. They really, really do. So if that's the listen to whatever you're told chair, they will do that when they're on that chair, on that platform. And so, you know, I used to have this show out of Kelowna, a place in British Columbia, which is actually really near the town where that winner yesterday, the Westminster Dog Kennel Show, the Beagle winner is from there. So so we got to mention that little Beagle, Miss P, a Canadian Beagle. Best in show. Well done, Miss P. Did her uncle proud, I understand. He was the other Beagle winner a few years back. So out in the Okanagan, I had this DJ who used to host my show every week. And one time he told us on air about the begging chair and how his dog, his Cocker Spaniel, would always sit on the stool when it wanted, you know, and it would just drool and drool and drool until he gave her a treat. And it was just like, you know, you've trained that into the dog. You could have anything you wanted when the dog was on that stool. But what you got was the begging. And fortunately for him, though, the way it worked was I was able to kind of use that. So the only time the dog begged was on that stool. Instead of following him around the kitchen and following anyone who had a sandwich, the dog would just, when it wanted to beg, it would go over to the chair, to the stool, and just beg by itself until someone came and rewarded it. So I do understand how this works. But maybe you can tell us just a little bit more. What's this platform like? If people look it up, tell us how they can find you. Online or how they can phone and
Absolutely.
Find out information. And what does it look like, this platform?
They can find us on blue-9.com, blue-9.com. And we called it the canine climb because climb is a command that is very popular to place a dog on something. And so it's K-L-I-M-B, climb spelled with a K. And as far as what it is it's a portable platform. It's 12 inches off the ground. It's 24 by 24 square. It's made of polyethylene plastic with a paw grip technology, which softens the surface of the platform so that it is not slick at all, wet or dry, to the dog. And it also has grip stops on the bottom of the feet because we found without that, it would go sliding across the slick surface. And this grips solid to the surface. And so the standalone platform is 24 by 24, 12 inches off the ground. But we wanted to make it as versatile as possible. So we have a locking mechanism that allows you to lock multiple platforms together. And so you can make this as big as you want. You could fill up a room with them and elevate off the floor. You can also stack them. So you can build confidence courses such as pyramids or little agility challenge courses for your dog. And so we've created it very versatile by the ability to stack them vertically and lock them together horizontally.
So it's Lego for your dog, Lego for you to work on for your dog.
It is.
Yeah,
well,
that makes
sense.
And if
you think about whenever you've confined your dog for any reason, such as, and we all are working on things. If you are in care of a dog, you are a trainer training that dog. And so in whatever you might confine your dog for something, whether you're putting it in a crate or taking it to a back room or kind of getting it out of the way, that is when to think about training your dog on the canine climb, because you can define their space without restricting them. You don't need to tie them off. You don't need to tip them away. You can train them to stay on the climb and stay out of trouble in areas where they historically have been into trouble, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, as long as you're using positive dog training techniques, praising your dog when he does it right, making him get it right, and rewarding him like crazy when he does it right, this shouldn't be a punishment thing, I hope.
No, we completely embrace positive reward training. We believe in reward-based training, and that is the most effective way to train the platform. We like to lure the dog onto it and then reward the dog for being onto it. We're big into training markers, and we like to be very timely with those markers. As soon as all four paws are on the platform, we mark that behavior and reward the behavior. And that is the foundation for our training with platform training. We completely believe in reward-based training is what we teach with our clients.
You know, sometimes I have to take a dog to the vet that isn't my dog, and sometimes they're not very well behaved. And always, 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 when you go to the vet, you got to weigh the dog. And the scale is like a platform in the corner of the waiting room. And you got to get that dog on that platform and not be touching him and have him stay still with all 4 feet on the platform. I'm guessing the dogs that are trained with your platform do just fine at the vet.
Absolutely. And we've even prototyped this with veterinarians across the country, and they love it for a couple reasons. One, they love it for a portable exam table, and they also love it for the waiting rooms, because you go into a nice waiting room in a vet, and they've got everything for the people to sit in, and the dogs sit wherever, to where we have some climbs out there at some veterinarian offices, and dogs that are trained to be on the platform can place their dog on the platform and then go and meet with the receptionist, write the checks, do whatever they need to do, and their dog is controlled and contained. So they like them for two reasons, a portable exam table and just a piece of furniture for the dog. And really, in any pet-friendly facility, you could find a platform someday, maybe the canine climb, that you will be able to place your dog in, whether it be a restaurant or a hotel or something like that. And that would be a great way to control dogs in a public space.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, David and Darren, at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It was a pleasure hearing about your new training tool, a great prop in the aid of training dogs, because props work on dogs. So thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
I hardly heard from you at all, but at least we didn't impede your travels. So safe travels back to Iowa, out of the Arizona sunshine, and back to God only knows what's waiting for you over there. In the east of Canada, it's minus 20 by your measurements, minus 25 by ours. It's so cold and there's so much snow. I can't really complain about the rain. But thank you so much for joining us today. And for all you listeners, Autry Pruitt's joining me next. We're going to have a wild and wonderful show coming up on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo. Look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
You know that I need you. Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and it's been so long since we heard from Autry Pruitt. Welcome to the show, Autry.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Really well.
Very good.
Are you cold over there in New York City?
I'm actually right now in West Palm Beach. I'm broadcasting from West Palm Beach.
Oh, that's way better. How'd you get that gig? I want that gig. There's got to be dogs down there. I mean, seriously, come on. I could do this anywhere. Hawaii would be good.
I think every dog wants to be down here.
Yes. Yes. You know, we miss Valentine's Day. I should have had you on for Valentine's because, you know, I love you. But there was this really cute thing that was going around, this kid said. This little boy has a crush on this little girl, and he wrote her a love letter. And he said, and it's animal related, that's why it makes my show. He says, "Will you please come to my house? Let's play together." And then he says, "I think you are pretty like a horse or a ladybug. I'm not sure which." Aw, what a sweet little kid.
Oh,
I hope she said yes. I hope she went over there.
I hope she did, too.
Can you imagine if she didn't? Yeah, you are ugly like an alligator. I can imagine next year he sends her a Valentine. You are ugly like an alligator.
That would be horrible. Horrible, I think.
Well, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. So are you watching down there? I mean, are there lots of pets in West Palm Beach?
There are a lot of pets. So a lot of people leave. Snowbirds is what they call them. And what they do is they leave New York City and they bring them and their pets down here, which I think is actually safer. One of the very first conversations we had on the program was Dr. Carol and yourself.
Yeah.
And we talked about salt affecting dogs' feet. The weather, and not all coats are built for certain weathers. And a lot of times people either have too thick of a coat in hot weather or too short of a coat in cold weather. So one of the things I've seen is some of those teacup style dogs or dogs, particularly with, I call it real hair. I don't know if technically it's real hair, but I'm not allergic to it. I think it's fur I'm allergic to. Hair I'm not. They tend to bring their dogs. They tend to bring their dogs down here.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? When the snowbird dogs go down to Florida for the summer or for the winter to get some summer, they have a really hard time with fleas. There's a lot of things that won't be in your normal area that are in your vacation area. So it's a really good idea. Yeah. Oh, a terrible time. A dog who's never had a problem before will go bald when he hits Florida because it's like, you know, the fleas in Florida are not the same as the fleas in New York City that die off every winter and, you know, outside. The insect populations are completely different. And so your dog's like fresh meat, big time. So it's a good idea to see your vet before you make the trip and find out, you know, do they have heartworm in this area? Do they have ticks? Is there something that I don't worry about that I ought to
good
worry
God
about when I take my animal into this other place? Because yeah, Lyme disease is a worry and all kinds of things. So you want to prevent rather than have to run around to the emergency vet on your holiday, which is no picnic for sure.
I have a question for you. So I was listening to your show earlier before I got on with this the guy and the climb and the
yeah, you want to wear some I want some platform shoes. I think that would do me. I'm only 5'2". I need a platform. Never mind the dog.
5'2" is a perfect height for a beautiful woman. Anyway, let me not go there.
No, well, so, go there. Why not? We'll call it the Autry Woos Deborah Show instead of the Smart Animal Talk. See how that goes.
I know. So why climb as opposed to? So I've had this experience. I've realized this on my own babysitting, as we've talked about. I don't really have animals. I babysit for others a lot.
Uncle
a lot.
Uncle Autry, everybody's favorite doggy uncle. Okay.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And pets love me like crazy, and I'm allergic to 99% of them. But anyway, so I found this out with a towel. Like, just out of curiosity, I'm not trying to blow up anybody's spot here, but why in the world do you spend this money on a climb thing versus just getting a towel? Because I discovered that on my own. Oh, get a towel or a pillow and put it down, and the pet learns, and you can, and it's much easier. It's you can fold it and put it in your purse. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I hope he's not listening. You might be pissed.
It struck me. It definitely occurred to me during that segment. You know, because telling a pet, and using props. I've done that for years. So when the people are having trouble and the dog is jumping over everybody who comes to visit, instead of just standing there and arguing with the dog, so the dog is saying, yes, 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 and jumping all over, and the person saying, no, 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 but letting him get away with it anyway, instead of practicing that every time an exciting visitor comes,
yeah,
you actually put a dog bed or a towel or a blanket or a platform or something that's like, that's my spot. And I know what it is, and I know where it is, and I know where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
And you make the dog, you might have another person hold him there the first few times, you might tie him to it the first few times, but you make him actually go there when the doorbell rings and stay there. And then he gets to greet the person politely because, you know, the dog just wants to greet them. He doesn't care if it's an in-your-face greeting or a sitting-down greeting or a shake-paw greeting. There's loads of ways. He just really wants to greet. And yeah, the more mixed messages and scolding comes into it, the more hyped up he gets about it. So you get a really crazy greeting, but it's so easy to undo that one. Actually,
it really
I'm on YouTube.
Is.
I'm on YouTube demonstrating greetings. It's free. Just go there, look up Deborah Wolf Dog Training, look up greetings, and you'll see a bunch of kids learning to greet, you know, dog learning. And I just basically, I tell the kids, you pretend that this dog is invisible if it jumps up. You can't touch it, you can't see it, you can't talk to it. But if it sits, just you cuddle it, talk to it, do whatever you want. Touch it as much as you like. And so I'm on the leash, and I just make sure that if the dog jumps up, he doesn't get any attention at all. And the second he sits, oh, these kids love him to bits. And the dog just like within, while you're watching, he stops jumping. Oh, well, that doesn't work. I'll just sit. Everybody loves me when I sit. I can sit. You know, and it's like, ooh, I'm cool. I can sit.
Yeah,
look at
yeah.
me. And now there's no scolding, no mixed messages, no whittling. See, some dogs, they get so worried about, they start to wee, you know, and ugh, gross. You want that.
But I think this is a larger – so you have individuals who are lower income, who want pets or who have children who want pets. And so the problem is – that I'm not saying don't get Climb or anything like that. But the problem is that, you know, this stuff could be staving off somebody who wants a pet, who needs some kind of comfort, who has – they're not rich. But they have enough income to provide food and make sure they can take the pet to the vet. But they're not super wealthy, and then if you grow up hearing this, oh, I need a Climb, I need this system. I mean, there are so many pet products out there. What I have found, whatever, I mean, for example, Alabama, the country, we didn't have a Climb. The dog ate food. What we ate, the dog ate.
Right.
I mean, so I just, you may disagree with that because you're a pet specialist, but I find some of this kind of hippie, get the dog whatever they want. I find it a little bit like, what are you trying to sell me today? What kind of snake oil are you trying to sell me now?
You know, it's a really broad market. There are people who'll spend $1,000 on a charm to stick on their dog's collar, and then they send it to boarding camp, and they're like, oh no, the collar fall off. You really need to find that because it. And then you're like, what?
It's like,
you put
$1,000.
I know. You set your dog swimming in a muck pond with a bunch of other dogs with $1,000 dog. That's just nuts. But yeah, there's something called bling for your dog, you know. And so there's an extreme end of the market and a low, you know, and there's places for everybody in between. But a whole lot of common sense goes a long way. There might be someone out there who was thinking of getting a mat anyway, who's looking for a little higher level of response from their dog. Maybe their dog is really highly distractible. And so this could work. I mean, I wouldn't want to.
Oh, good. I don't want to discourage you.
Yeah, it could work for some people, but it's definitely not a must have.
There's no hope. You know, I just don't want you to feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't have this device, I can't. No, you can. You know, but listen, I don't want to pit. What were there now?
The baby market is really bad for this. Oh, we're running out of time. We'll be back in it. And just so quickly, we'll be back with more Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm going to talk to you about rats because a story in the news just made me laugh.
Another rat story.
I know you love these. Okay, stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Autry Pruitt and me, Deb Wolf.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, and with Autry Pruitt. And Autry was just telling me that the gun show has a lot of dog lovers. What's that all about?
So I did the national, there's two large shows. The two largest are the NRA and then the SHOT Show. I did the SHOT Show for a week in Vegas. I did a live show there, interviewed people, etc. And it is full of animal lovers. A lot of them, it's a trade show. It's the largest trade show in the world. It's like 100,000 people come there to talk about guns. But I was surprised at, number one, the number of dogs in particular. I only saw one cat, but the number of dogs I saw, partially because dogs are there's a lot of training that goes along. You know, there's a lot of law enforcement and military there.
And hunting.
And hunting. And so animals are used in those fields, obviously, a lot. Dogs are. And I saw, and it was mostly two or three of the same kinds of breeds, but I saw a lot of dog lovers and animal lovers. And even the ones that didn't have dogs, people talked about animals quite a bit. I actually thought about you while I was there and said, man, this is something that she should be, you should be doing. I think it'd be great for you, especially since you have a service. You might be able to offer up a... You should look into doing the SHOT Show next year. You should look into it. I did it.
Las Vegas is kind of far. I love the idea of the weather there, but I don't know. I think I'd feel like a Where's Waldo, a tie-dyed little spot in the midst of all these gun people. I don't know how that would go.
I think it would go fine. I mean,
really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not, you know,
I have been called a hippie, you know.
I stood out. Yeah, but that's the more reason you'll get the attention that you need, because you're so different from everybody there. And you might get a date.
That's true. Oh, I might get a date. Oh, you still think I'm desperate, huh? Just because of that lady with all the cats who couldn't get a date.
She only
had like four cats.
I don't think you're desperate. Listen, these, first of all, number one, these men are like men, and they love animals. Right. Mm-hmm. They can protect you. 90% of them are wealthy beyond your wildest imagination. So this is not a desperate crowd.
I see. Well, I remember that show when we talked about that woman complaining she couldn't get a date because she had four cats. That's not the reason, lady.
That's not the reason you can.
Because I got a lot of cats and I don't have any problems. So,
I know,
you know,
I'm about to say. Anyway, it's a kid's show, so I don't want to get into that.
Well, a couple of strange things in the news. One little thing is, if you get a chance to look it up on YouTube today, there's something called, it's an environmental kind of phenomenon, and it's called a sun dog sun. And it was going on this morning in Russia. It's when snow crystallizes in the air, and it creates a false duplication of the sun. So they had a triple sunrise in Russia today. Pretty cool stuff, but it's called sun dog, so even cooler. All right, so I wanted to tell you about the rats. Here's the thing. I know you're all about kind of reading things skeptically and using your common sense. Okay, so I'm reading this article. I actually wrote on the top, wait for Autry. Okay, so it's from January, but I was waiting. Okay, the first paragraph is, rats scurrying down hospital hallways, chewing through wires and nibbling on food scraps near the cafeteria. The fourth paragraph is, inspectors believe that despite the increase, the rodents do not pose an imminent health risk to to the hospital's patients, visitors, or staff. Come on. Really?
Holy crap. Where's this? Wait, first of all, where is this from and where is it?
Well, this is from the Province newspaper, which is a very highly esteemed paper. It's one of the regular dailies in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. It's all over the province, this newspaper. And I used to write for them for about 4 years. So they're
pretty
good.
There's a real appropriate Canadian joke to insert here, but we'll avoid it.
Uh-oh. All right. No, this is a serious hospital. It's BC's Women's and Children's Hospital in Vancouver. And it's not the first time. They had a huge problem with it in Victoria at a hospital. It's just terrible. We do have a lot of rats. We're a port city with mild weather. And there's a big rat problem. I think there's a big rat problem in New York and definitely in London. I mean, it's not
but
just
you don't find them running around hospitals. And if you do, there is like a war going on to get rid of them.
That makes sense to me, Autry. It really does.
So you mean to tell me your poor grandfather, your poor dad is in the hospital getting ready to have surgery and the rat chews through the bypass machine and kills him? What the hell?
Do you know what? Oh, the day before I had my daughter, something very similar to that happened at the hospital.
Whoa,
near here.
You have a daughter?
I have two kids, yeah. Oh. But the day before I had
just
my daughter.
Had animals.
No. Two kids. The day before I had her, I came to the hospital the day I had her, and they told me they were looking at the wires, and they kept looking at the wires. And I said, "Why do you keep looking at the wires?" And they said, "Because yesterday squirrels chewed through the wires, and we had to go on generator. And now the generators are so low that if it happens again, we won't have any backup." Oh, that's what you tell the woman who's in labor. Good one. That's the way. So now I'm eyeballing all the squirrels as I'm going through this hours of labor. I'm looking at the wires.
Wow.
Wishing I had one of your friends from the gun club out there to shoot those.
I know.
No, it didn't happen. Everything was fine. We didn't need generators or anything else. And actually, she was born before lunch, so I wasn't even in there that long.
Has anybody reacted to this story in Canada? Has anybody?
You know what? It's pretty ongoing. We're fighting it. I mean, every week it seems like there's some new story about rats in restaurant areas or where they're demolishing a building or now this hospital. I mean, it's definitely a problem in urban Vancouver. So
basically blew it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they did. And the winter here has been so mild and beautiful that it's hard because some of the insects that are supposed to die or the animals that are supposed to have a hit to their population just don't. They get their numbers get way out of whack, and that's what we've got right now.
I remember there was like a fancy rat society or commission or something like that that you could call. There's got to be like an organization, a humane organization that you could call that'll say, you know what, we'll set up elegant traps in the hospital, we'll trap these creatures and start to begin to remove them. I mean,
I think
what's
just
scary to me.
Kill them, Autry. They're going to have to just kill them. I think it's
okay,
beyond that, you know.
Okay. But this is what scares me.
But if you want to volunteer, Autry, you know what? If you want to volunteer,
I'm not.
You Captain Rat Patrol. That's a good job.
Captain Rat Patrol, CRP.
See, you always wanted to come to Vancouver. Now's your chance to see its most beautiful sights where the rats live.
So beats,
right?
You know,
you're an animal lover. Come on,
this is ripe. This is ripe for a South Park episode.
I guess so.
Like,
yeah,
ripe.
Let's hope they do it. Well, we're going to break soon. I think we only have one segment after this. Time goes so fast with you.
Oh, that's it does. Listen, who else have you had? What other interesting guests have you had? I want to know because I've been missing the show.
Oh, I've had lots of great guests. I really like Dr. Kevin. He was on the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to have him on as much as I can. Well, mostly, you know, people write in with their itchy, scratchy, sad stories of pets who won't get better, and he helps them. But, we only have a minute left. I'll tell you about him in the next segment. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm talking to Autry Pruitt about Dr. Kevin on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk at All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking with Autry Pruitt and me, Deb Wolf. Yeah, so we're talking all about dogs and cats and pets and all the usual things we do on this show, and today there was something really sad out of Toronto. I just wanted to mention it because I was just watching on the news this morning before I came on air. I'm trying not to get choked up here, but this little three-year-old boy wandered out of his apartment, wandered down the road. And it's minus 20 there in American Fahrenheit. In our degrees, it's minus 25, minus 30 with the wind chill. Not anything a three-year-old should be out in. But he was out with no clothes and, you know, just a shirt and a diaper, barefoot, I believe. Anyhow, the child passed away. He was missing. And the thing I want to mention about it is that kid left the building, somehow got out of very heavy security doors and got out of the building and wandered down the street and wandered into a neighbor's yard. And now all the neighbors, you're showing them on TV how upset they are and how upset everyone is and how horrible it is. Nobody knew he was out there. None of them had a dog. If even one of those neighbors had a dog, the dog would have gone off, barking and barking and barking and barking. They would have opened the door and seen this poor kid in the snow. And I just think that, you know, dogs contribute so much to our safety in so many ways. But when I was looking at Elijah March and just thinking, if only someone had a dog, that kid might still be alive today. But everybody, watch the cold. It's so darn cold. You got to really watch your pets. Don't leave them alone outside. Make sure there's always water, not just frozen water. Make sure they have shelter. Be really careful about the salt on their feet. Watch the cold.
And take care of your pets. That's, you know what? That's a good, let me mm-hmm. right here for a second. That is a good point. I see so many owners when I visit people, or you make it a choice. This is not a kid. You didn't have sex. This is not an accident. You made a choice to get and keep a pet. That to me emboldens you have some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to put a pet's life above
a
kid's life.
But the animal has no choice.
Has
right?
no
if
choice.
If you don't feed it, if you don't brush it, if you don't do what it needs, it can't do it itself.
And walking around Florida, I see these matted animals that haven't had their teeth looked at. I meet these folks that are like, oh, I'm not taking my dog to a vet. That vet's expensive. Then why the hell did you get the damn dog?
Oh, you know what really bothers me is when they have several. And it's like, you know, you could, if you just had one and took care of it, it would be better than having four with bad teeth.
But I said it before on this show, if you can't afford to take care of yourself, then why in the world are you getting it? Because you're making a choice. That really bothers me about pet owners. It really bothers me about everybody. You know, when you get the horrible case like Michael Vick electrocuting dogs or dog fighting, you get those horrible cases that make the news. But what doesn't make the news is the thousands of pet owners. I see them day in and day out that their animals look like they have not been to a groomer, or that their toes, like they walk on the concrete and it's clicking away because their paws haven't been properly cut. I should say their nails haven't been properly cut. Their teeth are as yellow as a traffic light.
Yeah,
stop being lazy. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt your listeners, but that upsets me. Stop being, for example, I'm a good example. I know I have a limited time. I know how much I travel. I don't have the luxury of having any type of pet. I don't have the time for it. So I know that to be the case. So I'm making a conscious choice not to have one. I think it's very selfish that just because you feel emotionally bad for a day, all of a sudden you decide, oh, rather than dealing with your feelings, you want to pass that crap along to a dog. anyway, let me stop.
You know, there's a lot of that sort of vicarious living. I used to have this one woman who was so, so fit. I mean, her body was like you could bounce a dime off any part of it. She was just so fit. And I'm very fit. So if I say that, I mean it. You know, she's just unbelievable. And yet she had this dog that it was almost like what she wanted to eat, she gave the dog instead. The poor dog was like just a giant belly with two little legs at the front and two little legs out the back and a tiny little nose. It almost looked like a porcupine or like one of those pom-poms you make out of wool. It was so obese. And the vet was always telling her, you're going to get diabetes, heart disease. Sure enough, the dog did get diabetes eventually. But it was just so sad. And I think there are people who deny themselves or live a certain way themselves, but don't treat their animal to the same standard. And that's sad. You know, she took care of her own body, but not her dog's, right? She fed herself perfectly. But him, he was the garbage can.
Yeah, I know you wanted to talk about something else. I just wanted to say that is prevalent. And what happens, this is what I've noticed. It seems to me in a colder climate, people tend to pay attention a little bit more to their dogs. In the warmer climates, I've noticed, because we have a studio in Austin, Texas, too.
Okay.
I've noticed people seem, because it's warmer, they think, oh, the dog is warm. You know, like, oh, the dog is warm. You know, that's okay. The dog's not cold. The dog is warm. They tend to pay a little bit less attention to their animals.
I wonder. You know what? Next time I have Dr. Kevin on, I'm going to ask him about that, if he thinks there's a real difference.
I think the environments are harder.
I think there's different, you know, the whole grooming thing becomes really important in warm climates, or you get the hot spots and fleas and all the things that go with that, worms, parasites, because, you know, it's just that kind of environment. But I'll try and remember to ask Dr. Kevin that. I like him because he's very funny, as well as being a good vet.
But I encounter him. I encounter him all the time. Where does Dr. Kevin practice? Where does he practice?
Denver.
Oh shoot. That's cold. Y'all are cold.
On the radio lately, we have an election coming, and our prime minister has started to gear up for that. And he has a commercial running, you know, which is just basically saying how great he is. But the funny part is, I don't know how no one else hears this, but they've obviously shot some of it in his home, and they've stuck the family cat in another area. And the whole time the commercial is running, you can hear this cat saying, "Let me out. Let me out. Let me out." Through the whole commercial. I can't even listen to the rest of the commercial. And I wonder how many people are subliminally hearing that. "Let me out. Let me out. Let me out." And they're going to come away thinking he's a mean man. I don't know how it got through all his yes men. But I guess they just don't hear the cat in the background. Or maybe they think it makes him seem kind of homey, not realizing what the cat was saying when they filmed it. It wasn't a happy cat noise. You know, I don't know.
How long have you been doing this show?
This particular one, Smart Animal Talk? We changed name a little while ago, but I've been working for All Paws Pet Talk Radio, I think 10 years.
Jeez, old Pete's 10 years?
Yeah.
Man, you're committed. You're committed. I think
maybe
that's
we should be committed, Audrey. I hope you'll stay around. Well, we're running out of time. Do you want to tell people how they can listen to you?
Oh, my show. Easiest way to listen, go to Autry.tv, A-U-T as in Tom, R-Y.tv. It's not pet talk, and it might tick you off, but I guarantee you, you'll learn something.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk about dogs and cats with me again someday.
Of course. Right. I'll come back as much as you want.
Well, let's
Although my show ends at 3. My show, ends right when your show starts.
That's why you're all warmed up. You're all, ready to go. Bam.
I know. I got to switch gears.
No, it's been great. Okay, everyone. Well, I'll be back next week. Maybe with Autry. Maybe with Dr. Kevin. You never know. That's an interesting combination. Yeah, too bad it's never in the same place at the same time. But then again,
there's so many jokes. So many jokes.
I know. All right, everybody. It's been Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, and my guest, Autry Pruitt. And from us and All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals. And anytime you're near.